Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What's going on, everyone? Joe DeCameron, Marcus Hayes in for John today. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you, off and rolling. On this Thursday morning, beautiful day throughout the Delaware Valley, but not such a beautiful day in our sports hearts. Phils, they lose, you know, again, uninspiring, again. By the way, uninspiring in various ways. We'll get to that. Also, Joel Embiid with a tweet last night, none of which I enjoyed and none of which I think any of us enjoyed. We'll get to that. Some Eagles offseason stuff. Again, Marcus in for John Day, 215-592-9494. Marcus, how you doing, pal?
Outstanding.
Good. I mean, I see you adjusting that microphone. I'm listening. I'm like looking, and I'm not looking at you. And I'm thinking, what is that sound right there?
Well, the microphone didn't have its little thing on.
Yeah, that little guy.
From my effluviance here.
Yes. So, yes.
Effluviance.
I got to tell
like
you
Richie's
something.
Here
not
again.
Sure
words.
I don't know. I'm
not sure that's a word, fellas.
I'll tell you what. I'll take it because I thought after Richie, we weren't going to have the Stanford, you know, lingo going. But effluviance is high level right there. All right, a lot to hit today. And obviously, look, the Phils lose again last night. It was pretty brutal again. I mean, obviously, the highlight, or in this case, lowlight of brutality last night, the sequence, if you missed it, if you saw it, you know exactly where I'm headed here. An unbelievable sequence. Tie game, Alvarado, wild pitch. JT, by the way, with his leg out, so as he has been doing more and more this year, not particularly effective blocking the ball, properly called a wild pitch. But theoretically, if JT's in a better stance, then maybe he can stop that ball from getting away from him. So it gets away from him. He goes over. He scurries. He gets the ball. High throw to Segura at second. Runners on second base. Yeah, runners on second. Segura, a high throw. Segura does not jump. He misses it. He should have jumped it in. He misses it. Stott also misses it, although Stott was a little hard. It's a quick reflex. Like, that's really hard. But he misses it. Odubel, center field. He completely misses it. And, you know, obviously the runner comes around second and a third and a home. He scores the whole deal. It was as little league as you will ever see in the major leagues. Let me repeat. It was as little league as you will ever see in the major leagues. So, look, obviously we want to hear from everyone today at 215-592-9494. Your reaction to what we saw last night, the loss, that play, Rangers shaky start again. And I say again because he has not had a great season yet at all. Girardi pulls Ranger when he does, right, when he's kind of settling in. Alvarado in, that whole mess, all of it on the table, 215-592-9494. But really, Marcus, today I want to broaden out the conversation. I mean, I want to hear from everyone on last night. But I think we're at the stage, as we get near Labor Day and June 1st, and again, a Phillies team below 500 again, around 500 again. Really, Marcus, I want to broaden out the conversation today because I'm watching the game. I'm watching all these games. I'm watching the season. I'm looking at the standings, and I'm saying to myself, we have to do a deep dive on why. Why, ladies and gentlemen, are the Phillies always not good enough? And when I say always, I mean with the exception of the two great eras of Phillies baseball, late 70s, early 80s, late 2000s in the early 2010s, with the exception of that, and of course the two sort of magical kind of random out of nowheres, 1950 and 1993, I meant to say. Why, other than those select years? Because look, they spent a tremendous amount of money this year. They've had guys like Bryce Harper and Zach Wheeler now for a couple of years. They hired a manager who was supposed to be an adult and come in and fix this whole thing. I ask everybody, because I can't take it anymore, why in the world are they always so not good enough? I ask it sort of rhetorically, but more so, Marcus, I ask it looking for specifics. Marcus, when I ask that question, because you've been seeing it for years, just like I've been seeing it for years, why is it always this?
Because they are always flawed. They are always incomplete. They seldom put an emphasis on the things that actually win baseball games, which are pitching and defense. They like circus ball. You know, when you think about the 93 Phillies,
yep,
when you think about the 2007, 2008, 2010, 2011 Phillies, you think about Ryan Howard. You think about Mike Schmidt.
Yep.
You think about Jimmy Rollins, maybe.
Sure.
Chase Utley. Look at the pitching staffs. Look at the bullpens. Look at the defense, you know.
The defense was outstanding.
Jimmy Rollins is the best player in Phillies history, except for Mike Schmidt.
Outstanding defense.
Because they're both great defenders.
Victorino, you had Feliz, who was great at third. He wasn't a great hitter. He was great at third.
Jason Worth was a spectacular right.
Phenomenal. Utley was an outstanding second baseman. Ruiz was an outstanding catcher defensively. Look, you had the hole, obviously, with Berlin left. But for the most part, six, seven of your main eight guys locked it in defensively.
And made the play.
Look.
It's not that the Phillies necessarily are talent deficient defensively. It's that they're functionally deficient defensively.
And explain to me that difference. What do you mean by that?
Okay, so JT Realmuto should not have thrown the ball to second base. Okay, play was over. He throws it rushed, he throws it high.
Yeah.
That's why you don't throw it. You want to keep the guy off third. Gene Segura is probably their best defensive player.
He probably is.
And it seemed like he couldn't find the ball.
It's like he didn't move.
Right. It's like he didn't see it.
Because he should have caught it.
Right.
Exactly. It really wasn't that far above him.
The thing Rhys Hoskins does best is says, okay, I know I'm not very good here at first base. Let me just make sure it does this ball doesn't go into the stands or in the dugout.
Yes.
And he gets off the bag. He doesn't
yes.
try to make that crazy play.
I agree with that.
I just don't think Gene saw it. Bryson Stott probably didn't have a chance to catch it. But the big issue is, why is Odubel Herrera rushing the pick and letting the ball go under his glove? It's just because if it goes under his glove, it's a run. If he catches it and he fumbles it, it's third base. It's basic stuff. And this is – I absolve the coaching staff of this, because this is what the fielding coaches stressed all spring. Just make the basic play. A, B, C. Get to where you're supposed to be. Receive the ball. Set yourself. Deliver the ball. They did it every day with every player. Bryce Harper, Castellanos, Kyle Schwarber, Bryson Stott, Alec Bohm. Every day they said, we know we're not going to be good defensively.
What about the theory, though, that it goes above then the coaching staff, because these players were selected not by the coaches but essentially by the general manager in conjunction with the owner?
And that was my answer to your question.
Yeah.
The players are deficient. You know, one of the things Pat Gillick was really good at.
He was good, man.
What he was really good at is understanding the aggregate minimal functionality of a team. Yes, you have to be able to hit at a certain level, but you also have to be able to run at a certain level. Chase Utley was not fast. He's probably the best base runner in Phillies history.
His instincts were incredible.
Unbelievable.
Incredible.
You know who else was a spectacular base runner? Pat Burrell. You know who else didn't make errors in the field? Pat Burrell. He got to whatever balls he could get to, and he had a very accurate throwing arm because he had a very, very sound delivery mechanics. And he worked at it. He'd be at the ballpark at 12, 1 o'clock in the afternoon for a 7 o'clock game doing extra work.
Yeah, it's just like – and I want to hear from everyone at 215-592-9494, because we're at the point now – because, the Phillies still have a shot this season. There's no doubt about it. The third wild card keeps them in it. They're not going to win the division. But they're going to be in this for a while because they have enough talent to be in this, certainly into September. They should be above 500. They're not. We also know there's a distinct chance now they won't make the playoffs again. I mean, they've shown enough signs that there is a legitimate chance they will again not make the playoffs. And it bears the question, why again? Why are they always like this? And the thing that I come back to, and I wrote down, Marcus, to answer my own question, one word. Leadership. And beneath that, I've written down bad leadership and bad decisions. And that's what I boil it down to. Now, is it more than just that? Sure. Do players have culpability? Absolutely. I mean, should Odubel be able to handle that moment? Yes. But would I prefer that the Phillies brass know entering this season, hey, this guy Odubel that we've kind of been like rolling with for like 4, 5, 6 years now, let's not go with him this year. Let's not.
And they re-signed him.
And they chose that.
Right.
This was not the final year of a deal. They got together as a group and said, let's choose him. Leadership. Decision-making. Bad decisions. Look, I want to hear from everyone at 215-592-9494. Help solve, I don't even know if it is a riddle, but solve the question, why are the Phillies seemingly always, with limited exceptions, not good enough? 215-592-9494. Marcus, we also have to get here to a tweet that came out last night. So the Miami Heat play a game against the Boston Celtics. The Celtics actually end up winning the game in Miami. It's an impressive win by Boston. Boston will probably head to the finals. Now, it's not over yet. We saw Milwaukee take a 3-2 lead on the Celtics last round, and Boston came back with two in a row, including one in Milwaukee. They pulled it off. Miami can still do this. But Boston's probably headed to the finals. In the midst of Miami's struggles last night, Joel Embiid, who, you know, I have believed has been the best player in Philadelphia sports, although you got to give Bryce Harper some possibility now in that discussion because of the way Joel flamed out in the playoffs. But all that aside, Joel's been the guy. And last night, during that game, latter portion of that game, Joel Embiid puts out a tweet. Miami struggled, and he puts out a tweet. And the tweet reads as follows: Miami needs another star. And I see this tweet, and I say to myself, one of two things is going on here. And candidly, I'm not certain which it is. Either Joel Embiid does want to leave the Sixers, and this is sort of the fulfillment of what a lot of us have feared, which is that when the 76ers over multiple seasons prove not good enough, that he will want out. And as we've connected dots in recent weeks, the likely landing spot could be Miami because he's got such a great relationship with Jimmy Butler, and they're obviously one of the better teams in the NBA. So it's either that or he's joking around, knowing we'd all get freaked out, but he's joking around, to which I say, I am in no mood for that nonsense. I mean, talk about my heart and my mind as a Philadelphia sports fan, Marcus. To say that I am in no mood for the 76ers' best player to be joking around when the Miami frickin' Heat, who really aren't even that good, they're good, but they're not that good, who had just beaten the Sixers, who were competing for a chance to get to a title for the second time in 3 years to get to the championship round. And the Boston Celtics, who are the classic long-term rival of the 76ers, who, by the way, are winning the game and about to probably make the finals, for Joel Embiid to joke in that moment or for Joel Embiid to insinuate that he wants out in that moment, either way, it's a disaster. And I'm not in the mood for it, Marcus. What's your reaction to that?
Look, we hoped that over the last two seasons, with the birth of his son Arthur and his quest for the MVP, that Joel Embiid had matured. Joel Embiid in the last month has said, I'm not going to lie, I always wanted Jimmy Butler to be my teammate after Jimmy Butler kicked his butt.
Yep.
And Jimmy Butler went into the tunnel saying, Tobias Harris, Joel Embiid's teammate, who played the best in the playoffs among the Sixers, Tobias Harris over me. In the press conference afterward, where Joel Embiid didn't play very well coming back for four games, coming off his concussion, says, this is not the Houston James Harden. And then he levels this tweet, which is at least inappropriate, but clearly passive aggressive. Because let's understand, Joel Embiid is like top five tweeters of sport, among yep. sports figures all time. He's spectacular. So he knows exactly what he's doing.
I agree.
Exactly
with
what he's saying. And he has plausible deniability because he's not specific, and that's because he's super smart.
He's probably
the smartest guy in town.
He really is.
You know?
Yep.
So
he knows. He always knows what he's doing.
But about 2 years ago, the theater of Joel Embiid for me was bankrupt because he knows everything he's doing. He is incredibly manipulative. He is really, really smart. There's nothing he says, does, tweets, Instagrams that doesn't have a point. It's like he's a multinational corporation with an HR department in his head. he is what he is. So there is just no argument that Joel Embiid tweeted this to get a reaction and to indicate to the Sixers, not the Heat that he wants to leave, but to indicate to the Sixers
yep.
that something has to change.
I mean, I want to hear from everyone at 215-592-9494. What's your reaction to Embiid's tweet? Again, the tweet reads as follows: Miami needs another star. Now, look, we all know Joel Embiid, you know, has a sort of troll in his Twitter name, Joel Troel Embiid. He plays this troll persona.
It's in his name.
I know it is.
Yeah.
So chances are he's joking. But if he is that good? Like, this is where Shaq and Charles Barkley, and by the way, MVP voters, this is it right here. Right here is where people nationally don't take him serious.
Why is Joel
right
Embiid
here?
Why is Joel Embiid a second team All-NBA player?
Right.
Because Joel Embiid clowns himself all the time.
Absolutely correct. And by the way, he should have been a first team player. It doesn't make the voters right. But when people ask us and comment about it, like, why? It doesn't make sense. No, it actually does make sense in this sense. People nationally do not take him serious, or let's put it this way, fully serious, because there have been repeated situations like this where Joel Embiid does something or says something that is stupid, that is counterproductive to a winning culture, that is counterproductive to an effective central figure in an organization who can lead you. Yesterday, we had Ray Dittinger in studio, and it was an unbelievable hour. And I asked Ray about You know, I forget exactly how I phrase it, but basically, who's the figure in your lifetime covering Philadelphia sports who kind of stands out the most? And he went right to Bobby Clark.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about Bobby Clark, the whole thing. It wasn't just he's a good puck handler, he can shoot well. He talked about the dedication. He talked about the leadership. He talked about the, hey, climb on my back, let's do this together. I mean, I'm paraphrasing here, but the Bobby Clark thing. When Joel Embiid does this, one of two things happened last night. He either wants out, which he might, and he probably eventually will. I tend to think he was joking last night. But if he was, what's the point? And this is where I, as a Philadelphia sports fan, look, I want to hear from everyone at 215-592-9494. This is where I, as a Philadelphia sports fan, got to say, like, Joel, love you, man. I do. I love you. You're our guy. But this is where we struggle to trust you, because you and your teammates just failed about 2 weeks ago. The other two teams are playing in this game. Yeah, one of them's struggling a bit right now, but they're playing. You're not, and you're joking? That doesn't work for me, man. Look, I want to hear from everyone at 215-592-9494. What is your reaction when you hear the tweet of Joel Embiid last night, Miami needs another star? And look, you can also just come to the table quite simply to answer this question. Do you think he's joking or not? Do you think he's trolling or not? Is this a sign that he actually wants out? Or is this a sign that this is just Joel being immature? And if it is, what does that say about him and the 76ers' chances moving forward if we're still at the point where we're getting immature absurdity from the best player of the Philadelphia 76ers? Let's go to the phones. Again, Marcus Hayes in for John today, 215-592-9494. So why do the Phillies seemingly always come up short with limited exceptions in their franchise history? And Joel Embiid's tweet last night, what do you make of it? If you hadn't heard of it until I said it, you heard it. Now, you know, Miami needs another star. What do you make of that in the 76ers universe and Joel Embiid's head? 215-592-9494. Jeff in Bordentown kicks us off today. Hello, Jeff.
What's up, Joe? What's up, Marcus? How you guys doing?
Awesome. Thanks, Jeff.
Joe, can I make one request?
Sure.
You get fewer and less wrong all the time.
I get what?
Fewer and less, grammatically.
Oh, okay.
Like, well, you say, so it's like fewer criminals, less crime. Just look it up and practice it.
Yeah, but you said I'm getting less wrong, so I'm getting better at it. I appreciate that. No, you said I'm fewer and less. I agree with you.
Practice it at home, fewer and less, because I know you take pride in your grammar. And
yeah, I don't take pride in my grammar. I shoot from the hip, man. Yeah.
Even more than that's bothering me. The Phillies, you know, I don't know. Girardi, in a sense, I think he's limited with some of the tools he's given, but I just think, like, he doesn't light a fire. He doesn't inspire. He's just so ho-hum. Like,
well, he clearly does not inspire, like, clearly.
Look at Jim Valvano with the team he had at, you know, mm-hmm. NC State. And he got so much out of those guys. I know it's college and this is pro, but the coach can do that. I know the players are the players, but, you know, the other thing, I think signing Schwarber and Castellanos might have been a mistake, because – you have other needs. I mean, you got Reese Hoskins as your leadoff hitter. Center field is a mess. I like both those guys, but, I mean, aren't they almost the same player in some sense?
Well, there's a certain redundancy of sort of power hitter-ish who's not particularly good defensively. That's clear. Now, you did have the righty-lefty thing, which felt nice. It just felt good to get some good hitters in here. Look, my thought, Jeff, was, and I'm sure this is the Phillies' thought, the Phillies should be able to slug their way to the playoffs. Now, they're probably not going to win in the playoffs because, as Marcus pointed out earlier, the little things, base running, defense and all, if you get to the playoffs and you slug your way there, you're probably not going to win it all that way. But I did think they had enough hitting to get there. I'll say this, Jeff. Castellanos' regression in the last 2 to 3 weeks has been borderline stunning. Because if you look at where he is statistically now, and Jeff, appreciate the call. I mean, Marcus, he has gone backwards dramatically. Now, look, I can't say I'm big picture worried on Castellanos, because I think he's got enough track record to say, hey, he's gonna hit his way through this. But he's hurting them right now.
Yeah.
And he's hurting them a lot.
More so than that, though. I mean, My issue, actually, when I was getting ready for an earlier show this week, I wrote down, I might have been in the show. I might have been doing it like during break. Mm-hmm. I researched the leadoff spot since like 2010.
Boy, that's a project.
Yeah, it's a baseball reference.
You can find just it like
click,
quick.
Click, click, click.
Got it.
And, you know, and which players were occupying that leadoff spot.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the numbers, if Schwarber and or Segura produce in the leadoff spot the way they have in the recent past, you can argue in this era of analytics where speed and base running don't really matter as much, they had a leadoff hitter and a backup plan. It's rare that your plan and your backup plan go so horribly wrong, but that's what's happened with the Phillies this year.
Clearly.
So to Jeff's point, yeah, I think it all starts with the leadoff spot. Rhys Hoskins should not be leading off
Correct.
Your team, especially when you have Bryce Harper, Castellanos, Schwarber, Segura, who's like a 300 hit over the last 5 years, in your lineup. But that's where they are. So it's beyond Castellanos. It's this team, even when it produces runs, doesn't seem to have the extra gear to produce the extra couple of runs to cover for the deficiency at the back end of its rotation and in the middle of its bullpen.
Totally agree. 215-592-9494, your reaction to Embiid's tweet and also the Phillies historically bad and historically in recent years average-ish, slightly below average for sure this year, and seemingly not good enough again, which is astounding because their payroll is massive. Let's go to Brandon right now. Brandon, you're on WIP.
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
Excellent.
Good. This is actually my first time calling you guys ever.
Welcome aboard, pal.
Calling.
Nice.
Yeah, man. I always listen to you guys, though, man. Young fella, 29 years old. I'm a Philly native. I pretty much just want to chime in on the Joel thing. Joel, me being so young, but I'm not that young. I was born in the early 90s, so mm-hmm. I've seen a little something in the Phillies' history. Now, I just want to know a question. When do we get so fucking soft? That's what I want to know. When did...
All right, 215-592-9494. The caller asked the question, when do we get so soft? But he threw a... Would you call that an F-bomb, James?
Bleep in there, yeah.
Yeah, I think
there's... called a bleep in there.
So apparently someone's soft. I don't know if he means we're soft as a fan base because we don't like that Joel's doing... See, here's the thing. Candidly, I don't quite know where he's going.
Go ahead. I know where he's going.
Okay, go for it.
The demographic, he says he's 29 years
yeah,
old.
Yeah, yep.
The demographic that he belongs to, like the 25-year-old mm-hmm. male sports fan, believes that there is no accountability for what you say, especially if you say it on social media. That's the feedback I get. It is the demographic that holds their heroes least accountable. We're not in that demographic.
No, you and I are not.
So we're more sensitive to something like this, and we should be because it matters.
It does matter.
You know who else is almost 29 years old?
Who's that?
Joel Embiid.
Joe, yeah. You're right.
So it's not a matter of being soft. It's a matter of holding yourself and other people accountable for what they say and do. If you remember 2 years ago, Joel Embiid tweeted, "You either die a hero or live long enough to become a villain."
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And what happened after that? Jimmy Butler tweeted back, "I know a place where villains are welcome," while Jimmy Butler was a member of the Miami Heat.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Okay,
yeah.
So these things matter. These things have ramifications. You know who else is really, really smart? Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
So you can play off the Troll Embiid and it doesn't matter and all that sort of stuff, but it does matter. Nobody forced Joel Embiid to send those tweets that he sent last night.
No doubt about it.
Nobody forced Joel Embiid to do the Instagram post that Jimmy Butler responded to.
215-592-9494, the Embiid tweet, annoying. Any which way you slice it, it's annoying. Plus the Phils, consistently annoying because they're consistently not good enough. Joe to camera, Marcus in for John, right here on 94 WIP. All right, Jody Cameron, Marcus Hayes, Marcus in for John today, 94 WIP. Reminder, I said this yesterday, I'll say it again. Tomorrow, we will be broadcasting our show from the Farley Plaza, headed down the shore. So if you're headed down the shore, we would love for you to stop by and say hi. It's like right before Atlantic City. So whatever shore town you're headed to, if you are, please come on by and say, yeah, maybe you got to go to the bathroom. I mean, I know you can't exactly know like today, when you'll have to go to the bathroom tomorrow. But my point is, plan to go to the bathroom before you get like right to the shoreline and, and then come by and say hi.
I have every faith, Joe, that you have a bathroom schedule.
No, I actually, I swear to God, I don't.
I'm going to step away for a moment, literally to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, see, that's an example. So I was live on the air, in that case, Facebook Live. So if I had a schedule, I would have known to schedule it before we were live, but I had to.
Well, it's a biological process. There can be – I bet you if you think about it, you'll be like, you know what? Yeah, kind of I do.
Yeah, well, here's the problem. When you have – I got to see how – I got to phrase this very delicately, Marcus. Okay. When you have
– as you do.
When you have irregularities and spontaneous combustion. I don't even know if combustion is the right word, but let's just say Vesuvius happens far too frequently, and I have to scamper quickly. 215-592-9494, and that can
whole
truly,
new man. Trust me.
All right, let's go. That's what I said when I came back. That was what I said when I came back that day.
Gosh.
All right, let's go to the phones. We want to hear from you on the Phils. Seemingly always not good enough, and obviously on the 76ers, Joel Embiid with the. With the tweet, one question, Marcus, and then right to the phones. Your gut feeling, Joel wants out, and yesterday was his tweet was an indication of that, or Joel is joking around in an immature way?
I think there's a C. I think he thinks that his saber rattling will affect the Sixers and have them do something. Because honestly, if he leaves here, he's failed. The process has failed. It's over, and it's because he failed.
You know, a lot of – I mean, here's the thing. We might view it that way,
yeah.
But he probably would not.
I don't know.
I mean, did Anthony Davis feel like he failed when he wanted out of New Orleans? I doubt it.
But
there was no process. I get you. But I think he – I'm just guessing. I think he felt people failed him around him.
I agree with that,
When Carmelo wanted out of Denver, he's like, Denver's not good enough. I want to go to New York. I mean, all these guys, when they want out, I think these top 10 NBA players – are so used to having their butt kissed that they feel that it's the other's fault and not their own.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Because here's the thing. If Joel really knows that he's accountable as much as he should be, he wouldn't be joking. And that's what I think he did last night. I think he joked. But look, maybe it's an indication of an early sign of him wanting out. It could be 12 months from now. But he's starting to plant the seeds of, no, look, you might be right. Maybe he's trying to prompt action, and maybe some people out there would actually respect that. But I don't because I'm not in the mood for it. It's not, he's missing the time. There's a time for joking. There's a place for joking. It's not when the third round of the playoffs are going on and you were just eliminated in the second round. It's not the time and place.
Well, I think that he understands the time and place and uses it to its maximum effect.
Well, listen, maybe that's his mindset. And you guys can hit us up here. What do you think? 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Ron in Monco right now. Hello, Ron.
Hammer.
Ron.
Hammer, there's only one guy worse than Girardi in this town.
Is that Doc?
This guy hits 20 over in five holes.
Oh, you're bringing up my golf outing yesterday.
Ron, I'm happy you brought it up because I was going to bring it up, and you beat me to the punch, Ron.
This was
so at the end of the round, Hammer, what did you shoot?
I love Ron bringing up Twitter, too. How about this? Social media, Ron.
All right, so couple things. The backstory is yesterday after five holes, I was 20 over par.
Is that bad, Jeff?
That's really, really bad. I mean, we have a trained sports writer next to us, and I'm pretty sure his training over close to 30 years would say 20 over par after five holes is really bad. Like, you would rip the pro athlete that does that.
But 20 over par after nine holes is bad.
That's true. To answer your question, Ron, yesterday I shot a 135.
Well, you recovered a little bit then.
I recovered a little bit.
Way to rally, yeah.
A very little bit. Let's not get carried away.
Which, by the way, 135. I don't know off the top of my head what par was. Let's just say it's either 70, 71, or 72. Let's just say it's 72 because that's normally what it is, somewhere right there. So that means I would have been 28 plus 35. I would have been, what is that, 28 and 35, 45, 55, 63 over par. 63 over
again. Rally.
That's what I got. 65 over. That's what I would have got. Anyway, listen, Hammer, you got to try put a chainsaw, a backhoe. You can use a backhoe as a golf cart. Take a chainsaw, a road map, and a flare gun with you. That'll help you out a little bit.
It was embarrassing. It's pathetic. All right, Ron, what do you got? What do you got on the Phillies, my man?
On the Phillies, it's exactly leadership, and I'll give you an example, a perfect example. Okay, Real Muto. Okay, first year, had they made the playoffs, he wasn't going to be available. Second year, I think it was the short year, was already come in. He was hurt in with 3 weeks. He was out with a hip. Okay, in the midst of this, in the midst of all this mess with Real Muto, the big ticket item that came up on the board was Springer. Lead off, center field, solid bat. Fixed three things on your team. And he was getting the same kind of money for the same years, but because you let the Golden Boy GM, this is what you got. So that's just an example of the leadership.
You know, it's interesting, Ron. I wrote a column right after they signed Schwarber and then signed Castellano. I said, listen, this is awesome. Why didn't you do it last year when George Springer was available? He solves your problem in center field on a couple of different levels with Odubel Herrera's issues and the fact that you don't have a leadoff hitter and you don't have a center fielder, and it solves them long term. And the year before that, if you remember, it was Dallas Keuchel they wouldn't sign. So yeah, it's pretty simple that they whiffed on at least one of those two guys, Springer being the more prominent one.
Well, you know, here's the kicker though. They have put themselves in the at the mercy of free agency, okay? And they whiffed at the thing that they got to hit on, okay? It's one thing.
Well, and Ron,
miss on prospects,
yeah.
Okay, you miss on prospects, but you miss opportunities in free agency.
Well, Ron, listen, you're bringing up a really important point. Appreciate the call as always. The point that the Phillies need it, not just to go to free agency, they needed to hit with their free agents because they did not have a basic infrastructure of prospects over the last few years that created a nucleus. I mean, their team is essentially built, for the most part, with limited exception, Alec Bowman being an exception, Aaron Nola being an exception. The team is primarily built through free agency.
Well, I will say
it's Zach Wheeler, it's Bryce Harper, it's Castellanos, it's Schwarber. I mean, JT was a trade.
I will say this.
Which, of course, they gave up a good prospect to get. Go ahead, Marcus.
What was the biggest story of spring training? On the last day of spring training.
That it was condensed?
That was the best story of spring training. That they finally had two blue chip prospects hitting. Bryson Stott was going to start at third base or shortstop.
Right.
And Mickey Moniak was going to start at center field. Yeah. Or at least platoon in center field, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I was there. They played Tampa Bay at the Dome on the last day of spring training. And I was there covering to let the beat writer. I'm a columnist. To let the beat writers go home a day or two early.
Yep.
And Mickey Moniak got hit in the hand. and he hasn't been heard from since. Yeah. David Murphy just wrote a column for the Inquirer talking about how he wants to come, you know, how he's ready to come back. He's in AAA. He's
homered yesterday in Reading.
There you go. He's in Reading. So maybe there's a cavalry coming, because he was really kind of the sensation of spring training. Mickey Moniak, and he's a big, strong kid. Maybe it's going to break for them in the second half.
Yeah.
But Bryson Stott's hitting 170.
Bryson Stott, let me just say this, because I looked at the stats after the game yesterday, and I actually was astonished by one stat in particular with Bryson Stott. So you're right. Stott he's actually hitting 123. His on-base percentage is 174. The stat that blew me away even more than them on the bad side, Marcus, his slugging percentage is 138. I don't think in late May I have ever heard, I mean, I'm sure it's happened, but I can't imagine it's happened often.
And with a regular, relatively regular
player getting near Memorial Day would have a slugging percentage of 138.
And I mean, still be in the majors.
Yeah. And still be on, right, exactly, still be on the team. 215-592-9494. Hey, we have to give away today, and we'll talk to the King, Howard Eskin, today at 11 o'clock. We've got a pair of tickets to the Phils game versus the Giants coming up June 1st. We're going to be headed down as a show, John, James, and I, and about 30 listeners. Top Gun night at the ballpark. By the way, one lucky grand prize winner will get in a photograph with Top Gun Maverick star Miles Teller that night. You can purchase tickets. If you don't win them, you can purchase tickets at Phillies.com. for that or any Phillies game, but we hope you win the tickets here today with us. And I noticed earlier that back on this date, Marcus, in 1896, we're going late 1800s, Tsar Nicholas II. You know what they did? They crowned him. Tsar Nicholas II, 1896, he's crowned. So my mind, Marcus, is kind of weird. I mean, you know,
we know.
There's a lot going on, right? Some good, some bad. Sometimes you shoot.
That's a complicated freeway.
Totally. Imagine what I was thinking shooting a 135 yesterday. It's like, what in the world is
happening? Yeah, how did that happen?
You were thinking, this is awesome. It's better than than my 160 I expected.
How do you shoot a 136? I mean, I don't. Golfing, I could shoot a 136.
You want an answer?
Yes.
Abnormally tough golf course.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, tough golf course.
Right.
Tough.
A lot of wind.
Yeah.
No, you know what it was? It was a lot of sand traps. And I was, full disclosure, I'm going to, this is one of those, you know, James, I talk about, I come in here and I lay myself bare, you know, I mean, because, you know, from time to time.
Here I am, I lay myself bare.
All right.
So, yes, I am. I am.
Not even your own line.
I am going to give. I tried. I am going to present a full disclosure for a moment here. Sand trap yesterday. This is the second time I'm in the trap, and it's only, honest to God, like the third or fourth hole. First shot, right on back to me. Second shot from the trap, right on back to me. Third shot from the trap, right on back to me. Fourth shot from the trap, right on back to me. What'd I do for the fifth shot, guys?
You lifted it out with your hand.
Nope.
You sculled it.
Nope.
You kicked it.
I shot it backwards to get out of the trap. That's how low it got for me yesterday on the golf course. I actively chose to shoot a golf shot backwards because I could not possibly lift it over the sand trap lip.
You know what you do next
time? That's how bad it was.
You know what you do next time?
What's that?
You putt it out backwards on the first one.
Ooh, look at you with the strategy right there.
That's right.
So speaking of strategy, you got to come to the table today at 215-592-9494 with strategy to answer the question, who was crowned? Because in 1896, Tsar Nicholas II was crowned, but we're not talking crowned in a good way, although Tsar Nicholas had a bad ending to his situation right there. we're talking about, because I thought about when I think of crowned, come on, when you think of crowned, you think of Dennis Green. All those years ago, he's got a Cardinals team that wasn't that good. I think Matt Leinart was the quarterback, but they were trying to win an early season game. Chicago Bears had been really good the year before, and the Cardinals lost in excruciating fashion. And that night, post-game press conference, Dennis Green wanted to know, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But he didn't think Chicago was even that good. Dennis Green went off that night.
Four picks against Grossman and two fumbles. What did you see about the Bears? We shut them down that way?
No, the Bears are what we thought they were. They're what we thought they were. We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like it's bull? We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. but they are who we thought they were. And we let him off the hook.
It's so clear. It'll never get old. It'll never get old. His point basically was he didn't think the Bears were that good. He thinks his team should have won the game, and he knew his team had blown the game. So in honor of Dennis Green, in honor of Czar Nicholas II, when we talk about who was crowned, we're talking about who was crowned and, in his opinion, like should not have been. Who was someone given a lofty title, not like an actual title, although it could be. And like I'll give you an example. Let me give you guys an example. Best answer by the end of the show, whoever comes up with it, the person's going to win the tickets to the Phils game, Phils Giants June 1st. I believe, and I know there's about 20% of people out there that will disagree with me. 80% of you will agree with me. Conan was crowned, and he should not have been by NBC. He was an unworthy successor to The Tonight Show. The Tonight Show had gone from Johnny Carson to Jay Leno. Say what you want about Leno as a little annoying at times, and he was, but he got very high ratings, and he held it down for about 20 years. And then they said, we're going to Conan. Conan failed.
They didn't give him a chance. They went back to Leno like immediately. They didn't give the dude a chance.
James,
you are wrong.
James,
look
it up.
20%.
I know you're in the 20%. And NBC said there's not enough people in 20% compared to 80%. Conan's numbers were half of Jay Leno's numbers in 6 months.
Give him a chance to build 6 months. Yeah. Give him a chance to build his show up a little bit.
If you have 10 million people listening or watching, and then you go to 5 million, that's a big drop. Conan was crowned, and he shouldn't have been, and NBC admitted their mistake and moved on. All right, I want to hear a great answer, Marcus. Who was crowned and should not have been?
I don't know, man. That's a pretty good answer. I mean, Conan was an acquired taste to begin
with. He's a goofy dude who's got a little bit of entertainment value, but he's not going to grab America.
He's not safe.
He's just not good enough.
Yeah.
I think Marcus is right. He's not safe. I think it's a better way to
put it. He's not good enough.
Yeah, he's hilarious. He's just not, he doesn't appeal to everybody.
It's kind of like avocado, you know?
Avocado is amazing. One of the best foods there is.
I don't mind avocado, but I'm not tuning in to avocado at 11:30 at night.
Every night.
All right, who was crowned Marcus and should not have been?
Well, for me, I mean, I was covering the Phillies at that point, and I don't think that people will come up with this answer because it's kind of obscure now, but at the time, the 2006 Mets were supposed to be a dynasty. You look down the road and you assume the Phillies with a sketchy, you know, pitching staff and some younger players who were playing well. But it kind of went, you know, Jimmy, Chase, Ryan. You weren't sure Ryan was the real deal. So in 2007, the Mets were supposed to, you know, be off and running.
Reyes and Wright and that whole group.
The whole group and the pitching.
I remember that.
They were the favorites, but they were not the team to beat.
Yeah.
As Jimmy Rollins prophesied, the Phillies turned out to be the team to beat, and the Phillies went on that run, and the Phillies deserved the crown for the National League East for years after that.
Yeah, the Mets were the favorite entering 07, but Jimmy was right about it. James, give me a great answer. Who was crowned and should not have been?
I'm going local also. We thought he was the Messiah before he ever even coached a game. We all crowned Chip Kelly. The vast majority of us crowned Chip Kelly.
I was the 20% there.
Yeah, good for you, man.
Yeah, I was the 80.
I was the 95%.
I think it was more like 95. All right, let's go to the phones. Give us a great answer. Who was crowned and should not have been? Whoever comes up with the best answer is going to win the tickets to the Phils game. We can all head down as a show. Let's talk to Robert and Glenn Olden right now. Hello, Robert.
Joe, Marcus, first time talking to you. Pleasure, James.
Thank you, Robert.
How are you, pal?
Listen, I'm good, thanks. I kind of got a creative answer for this. Who was crowned a little early, but I'll save it to the end. Joe, I think I talked to you about this yesterday, the day before. Remember when Harper made that little subtle comment on the post-game press conference where he's not at the point yet where he wants to be traded?
Yes.
But he threw it out there. Now, I think
he didn't. I won't say threw it out. I think you're throwing it out. I think he demonstrated two nights ago
that Harper is getting irritated,
and he should be.
And that's my point. And this is the same thing, I think, with Embiid. Where he might say, I'm joking 90%, but there's 10% truth where I'm starting to get to that point where, you know, I'm getting frustrated myself. So I see a big correlation between what Embiid tweeted and what Harper said. That's all I was trying to do.
Well, here's the thing I'll say to that, though, Robert.
So,
I respect the way Bryce Harper presented himself two nights ago. I do not respect the way Joel Embiid presented himself on Twitter last night. That's not the way a leader should behave. Joel Embiid does not play for the Heat. He plays for the 76ers. He should be the galvanizing central force to try to lift this situation up. And last night, he hurt the Sixers.
Yeah, I don't want to correlate. Like, one did it with class, one didn't do it with class. Just, the meaning behind what they said is they're both getting to that point little by little. So, you know what, Joe? And this is going to sound crazy, and I say it all the time to my buddies. Embiid at his peak. Massey playing it probably. I don't know if Massey can play any better than what he's playing. Hopefully he can
get better. You know, he can get better, and the reason is because he can become more consistent.
Okay, that's what I meant.
Now, he can definitely become better.
Right. Now, we didn't even get past the second round. So, you know what? If MB's not going to be happy here after it's all said and done, I wasted my 40s because I'm 48. So I don't see the humor in the MB tweet, like, you know, a 29-year-old that called earlier. But, hey, you know what? If you don't want to be here, see you. See you, Joel.
Well, I disagree with you on that, Robert. I would take a very hardline position with Joel Embiid if we ever find out he wants to be out, and my position would start with we're not trading you, and it would then go to we're still not trading you. Like I would make it so clear to him that it's off the table, and I would only consider it if I felt down the road I was so backed into a corner that I had to, and then you try to. You know, flipping for tons of draft picks and all that. But my initial approach, and for a long time, would be, I mean, that's what the Lakers did to Kobe. They said, you know, I mean, they put on this ruse in 07 or whatever that they were trying to trade him. But they're like, we're not trading him. Why would we trade you? I mean, what's the point? So, all right, Robert, give me a great answer here for who or what was crowned and should not have been.
My first thought was I was going to go on the football side. I'm going to go on the baseball side. Dominic Brown after that 5 years, whatever it was.
Pretty good answer.
Yeah, sure.
And didn't that net him an All-Star game?
Oh, yeah. He was on the All-Star team for sure.
Dom Brown. And it was really Marcus 1 month.
Yeah.
It was really an amazing.
There's a better Phillies answer out there. There's a better Phillies
answer. Okay. All right. I'm all ears from people.
Yeah.
All right.
Think about it.
Let's go to Rob in the Poconos right now. What's happening, Rob?
How you doing, guys?
We're doing good,
all right,
buddy.
Doing all right. I think answer to your to the contest. I think LeBron James being crowned the king.
Oh, I disagree, dude. Listen. If he comes up short in his quest to pass Michael Jordan, fine. There's no shame in that. If you've won 4 NBA championships and you're probably the second best player of the last 50 years. You were properly crowned.
Yeah, why would you say that, Ron?
I don't know. I think this year, I think he kind of fell off. I think you put him in the same category as Harden right about now.
Well, yeah, first, he's also like 6 years older than Harden. And he had a much better season. Robert, he had a much better season. He had a much better season than James Harden. I mean, LeBron still balled out. He had no one around him.
LeBron was an MVP candidate.
Listen, I still think LeBron's best player in the world.
I will say this. Like, LeBron is hard to like.
Well,
we get back to the Sixers too about why Joel is a second team All NBA player and stuff like that. But LeBron is a very hard guy to like, but he's really hard to not respect. Both like his work ethic,
totally great.
His who he is as a citizen, and
totally
what he's accomplished. He's done a lot in an era where the big weapon is something he doesn't have.
Look,
he's not a three-point shooter.
You're right. It has made his success interesting in this era. And here's the bottom line as the correlation back to Harden, as the caller alluded to, absurdly so. If James Harden, you like that? If James Harden at the age of 32, which is what he was this year, had demonstrated a morsel of the commitment to basketball that LeBron James demonstrated at age 32 and 33 and 34 and 35 and 36, etc., then the 76ers could have won the title this year. If he was in proper shape, focused, mentally, physically ready to go, they could have beaten the Heat. They could have beaten the Celtics. They certainly could have beaten whoever emerges from the West, and it'll probably be Golden State. But James Harden was not ready to answer the bell because his mind was not focused and ready to go, and certainly his body was not either. Joe Cameron, John Ritchie, who was crowned and should not have been? Joel Embiid, what do you make of his tweet from last night during that game? And also the Phils, why do they just always frickin' disappoint us? Joe Cameron, Marcus Hayes in for John, Howard Eskin next, and phone calls all show right here on 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.